Well, boys and girls, you hear it in the wind. You feel it coming. Tick-tocking. We're coming down to the wire. The shit's beginning to go. I'm telling you, this is something else. It's I can't. It's very sad, but I can't help but hysterically break out laughing once in a while. This is White Aryan Resistance. White Aryan Resistance Radio. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger here in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, where it's not a bad day today. Cool, but not bad. And we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Yeah. Hey, you see, they're going on a big thing now about lone wolves in this country, or terrorists. That's hilarious. They Morris Deese has got a deal out on the sovereign citizens. Everybody's supposed to get excited about that and run after the sovereign citizens. They've been around for 3-4 decades. I've known them, known some of them. And if that's what they consider a terrorist outfit, they're really screwed up in the brain. These girls, these people are a little whacked out, not wanting to pay for the driver's license and stuff like that, and fighting up against these crooked judges about the Constitution. When you go into one of these courts and want to argue about the Constitution, forget it. But that's those people. And Mark Potok, that weirdo from SPLC, was on radio yesterday, and he was going on. Oh boy, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Forget about ISIS. Yeah, forget about ISIS. We got all these people from this organization and some of the old militia stuff. I haven't seen anything of those people in so long I can't remember. Yeah, I need to turn my audio up here a little bit. But anyhow, they're excited. They're excited. And you know what's funny about this whole thing? These ISIS people are getting pretty sharp, at least some of the leadership. And, of course, they've imported some people from the United States and England and different countries. And they're showing them how to do this stuff electronically. So all they have to do is punch the right buttons, and everybody goes crazy. So the latest is, let's see, last week we were going to invade Europe, like the Camp of the Saints. Of course, we got no ships, but we're going to invade Europe. And now they've switched to, they're going to hit the shopping centers. And they name a few shopping centers. And everybody goes batshit crazy. And all the news, it's all here, over and over and over again. Are they, aren't they, are they, will they? I think so. No. It's amazing. But you see, the brilliance behind that is that if they scare the shit out of the public, then they don't go shopping. I ain't going down there. Goddamn ISIS will get me, you know. And so if they can lower the profits of the corporation box stores, that's a bigger victory than if they planted a bomb someplace. It's psychological warfare, and I got to hand it to them. That, same way with probably faked cutting people's heads off over there with in a studio. And, of course, nobody knows for sure. But anyhow, this plays right into the hands of the Republicans. They want this kind of shit because they get everybody all excited and say the Democrats, they don't care. They ain't going to fight for the country. Obama don't care. He won't fight for the country. It's all bullshit. And so with all these threats and building up of ISIS, which we armed them anyhow, those are mostly all our arms. So I'm sitting there watching the news laughing my ass off. of how panic-stricken the average dumb shit here in this country is about this stuff. Of course, all you have to do is pull out of there. You know, you don't have to be over there fighting. You see, if you'd have left, if you'd have left Assad alone, left Gaddafi alone, left Saddam Hussein alone, there'd been quite a bit of peace over there. This all comes out of our military-industrial complex wanting to send big armies over there to the Middle East. We'll show them. Well, no, it's to make money. It's always about to make money. They're not protecting your ass. I mean, if a ISIS guy wanted to go around and do something bad, he could do it anytime he wanted. How could you have security, real security, on a shopping center? Especially if you had guys that didn't look like they were Middle Eastern. But anyhow, my message to everybody is just hang back. Don't get excited. If you got anybody that you know in the right wing or in one of these right wing groups, tell them for heaven's sake, don't make a move. They're desperate to get white separatists or tax evaders or militia types or anybody that's white to do something wild. They need another Tim McVeigh. Is what they need. And this Eric Holder's losing sleep at night because he's praying to his whatever he prays to for an incident. It's got to be, just almost got to be a white guy that wipes out a few people, or maybe even one person. They need an excuse. Don't fall into their grasp. We're winning. We're winning on all fronts. If you don't see that, you don't understand that worse is better for now. And that's what's happening. And let these people in the system and ISIS and all these people, let them fight it out. Let them go bat shit. And sit and enjoy it. You know, it's better than world wrestling match. Yeah, it's better than watching a World War II movie backwards. So, now, the only thing is, when these ISIS make threats to do something naughty in a shopping center, and that scares the shit out of the people who buy all the goodies, and then maybe their income goes down maybe 5%, well, what are the corporations doing about that when corporations, for the most part, backing the play in the Middle East? It's going around and around, and it's like chasing its tail. And if an FBI agent came around or CIA or something and tried to talk to me, I'd be laughing too hard. I'd be laughing too goddamn hard to talk to him. Because this is what's needed. Yeah. We meddled around in other people's countries and for profits and the arms trade. Got them all upset. And now they're even recruiting. It's not our fight. It hasn't been our fight for a long time. While I was in the wasting all my time and money in the right wing, it wasn't our fight then either. Because even if it was, we have no power. We have no power. The Vietnam War, of course, was a sham. Korean War was a sham. They've all been shams. I read you that book, Chapter at a Time, where every war this country's ever fought was a phony war. All of them. Yeah, look at that. The Tonkin situation over there, that when Johnson was president and the so-called attack on American ships never happened. None of it ever happened. 2.5 million people died as a direct result of that phony story. This country deserves to get its ass kicked. And I don't know what to tell you. the system needs to be need to be revamped. Number one, get rid of the federal system. Let's go on back and break this country up into about four or five divisions. And they can be nation states like, you know, Norway, Sweden, and these little smaller countries, Lithuania, these smaller countries. Something that if they kept their nose clean, they could manage themselves instead of this crazy-ass menagerie. Then, of course, on the next channel you tune to, they're all worried about overpopulation. Wait a minute. They never really were serious about overpopulation. Not at all. Because the corporations need consumers. And if you cut down the population, they're not going to have as many consumers. And what would that do for business? And the progressives and liberals who cry about letting people into this country are the same people who say the world population is too high. Well, if you're not prepared to keep them out of this country, that would be a first step. But you don't want to do that. You want to fight the birth explosion by letting the excess people come into this country. And then this country will be just as bad as the other countries. So anyhow, I was going to put out a show yesterday, but I was sitting around thinking all day, thinking about what a fucking clusterfuck this is. And to listen to the TV and these people, politics, talking about how they're going to change things and do things and who they're going to put up to elect, going to put up another Bush? Jesus Christ. How stupid could you get? Or Hillary Clinton. She's another one should be in jail. She should be in jail. But that's what the people end up voting for, one or the other. People like that. I don't know what to tell you. It don't seem like they'll ever change because they think it's their duty to vote for the slave master that suits them best. I guess so. Anyhow. Yeah, I wasn't on here yesterday and I got really tied up, and so anyhow, I'm putting one out today. But they say laughing is good for you. They say it's good for your psyche. And if laughing is good for you, then I should be in perfect health, laughing at the system, laughing at all their bullshit about lone wolves. Oh, they're out there. Well, yeah. They don't need to work. They don't have to do anything violent. The system's doing it to itself. Why would we want to make an overt action when the system's doing it to themselves all across the board? Everything they're doing is fucked up. So why should we need to do anything? Just sit and watch them, like watching monkeys in a zoo. Keep talking about the economy getting better with $20 trillion in debt. The only thing any country could do to get out of these debt is to default. Screw you, big banks. We're defaulting. Oh, it might be a little tough for a while, but you'd get over it. Default. I think it was Argentina several years ago defaulted. And Iceland pretty much defaulted. And they're coming out all right. Greece, if they had any brains, would default. Yes, they would. Get out of that union, that EU. Get out of that damn thing. At one time, I thought that would be a pretty good idea. But as time went on and I saw who was joining up and saw all the Jews jumping into it and getting right up at the top, I said, forget it. Dump the EU. You know? Dump it. I see some of these crazy right-wingers, some of these so-called conservatives, I can't understand why they call themselves conservatives. What's to conserve? There's nothing left to conserve. It's been over for a long time. Sorry, why do you want to be a conservative? be better off being an anarchist, I guess. Many conservative leaders and the GOP politicians, that's the Property Party, have apparently missed the memo that impeachment is a Democratic myth. Activists including Alan West, Tony Perkins, Phyllis Schlafly, is she still around? God, she was around back in the 60s. And Sandy Rios are now using the news of executive action as an opportunity to call for Obama's impeachment. Like that would solve anything. Others are going one step farther, calling for Obama's arrest. I don't care if you arrest him, but it's a waste of time. Anti-immigrant activist William Green urged county sheriffs to apprehend the president. While talk show radio host Rick Wiles says he dreams of a Marine raid on the White House. I wonder if he'd felt that way under Bush. I don't think so. I think the guy loved Bush and loved his wars. Representative Stephen King, Republican of Iowa, floated the I word. And his Republican colleague from Alabama, Mo Brooks, said that the Obama actions not only warrant impeachment, but also a 5-year term in prison. You know that's going to happen, don't you? Yeah, right. Oath Keepers, here's another phony right-wing group, spoke in more menacing terms. Quote, if they don't impeach him for this, then they will lose all credibility. Well, they already lost it a long time ago. What credibility? There's no credibility anywhere in Washington. And throw us into a true constitutional crisis. Forget the Constitution. That's over. Stupid. It's over. It wasn't even a good experiment. Because they will have failed to do their jobs and leaving the people with the necessity of pursuing other options to stop him. You know, for 40 years, I've heard the right wing do this. And I used to fall for this shit. Oh, we got to get him, maybe arrest the president, no matter which rat president it was. We got to get him. Nobody ever gets anybody. Conservative strategist Richard Viguerie, oh, wow, this is the right-wing counter to Morris Deas. Yeah, Viguerie's been around a long time. You must be getting really up there. He's got the largest right-wing mailing list in the country. Like Morris Deas has got probably the largest mailing list on his side, predicted that executive action would ignite a civil war. Well, that would, you know, that might be fun, you know. Who's going to be against who? I hope everybody's against the government. You want a civil war, everybody attack the government. Everybody of all races got something, they got a, you know, something against the feds. And Schlafly likened Obama's announcement to the attack on Fort Sumter, which triggered the Civil War. Calm down, Schlafly. You must be about 85 now, and you've been doing this right-wing bullshit ever since I've known you. I think I met her once way back. Well, Glenn Pecker, making one of his trademark prophetic predictions, feared that the move could launch a race war. Well, now we're getting someplace. A race war? Glenn Pecker, that's great. Yeah. But I think we better take care of the federal government first, and then we'll have the race war. Or maybe we'll have agreements splitting up all these states and so forth, splitting the country up. Couldn't be any worse than it is now. Senator Tom Coburn, Representative Mike Kelly, and Representative Louie Gohmert have similarly warned that the executive action will tear apart the country and lead to violence. Well, I'm not going to say anything, boys and girls. I just don't want you people to go out there and go crazy. Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, the immigration advisor behind Mitt Romney's self-deportation plan, which is the stupidest thing I ever heard. Nobody, they're not going to self-deport. I mean, you know, you might get a few, but they even spoke of a radio show caller about the prospects of whites facing ethnic cleansing in the U.S. Well, of course they're facing ethnic cleansing. It is an ethnic cleansing. The whites are surrendering. And they're not resisting the influx of non-whites in any way. except bitching, you know, like a bitch, like they always whine and don't ever do anything. And they won't follow any kind of leadership that could save the situation. So anyhow, Michael Peralta, a Maryland GOP elected official and religious right activist, I'll count him out right there, warned that Obama's announcement was an act of treason and further proof that he is seeking to destroy America. I guarantee you, America is going to be around long after Obama's gone. Committed governors and county execs, Peralta explained, should resist this in every way they can by sending a message to Obama that they are not abiding by it. We are still going to either incarcerate or seek to remove and deport those who are here illegally. I heard this bullshit 30 years ago, back when I was fighting this immigration, way back then. I was doing everything one man can do to fight it. And everybody, all these people back then, oh yeah, we're fighting it. They might have stood on a street corner with a sign, that's about it. No, these people in politics like that are all bullshit artists. They're not going to save anything. They don't have the balls to do anything. What would they do? Tell you to go down and vote for some other jerk? Oh, jeez. Let's see here. Gein also urges Americans for legal immigration supporters to resist the new immigration policy. Look, we had it all figured out 25 years ago. Simpson-Mazzoli, haven't you forget that? That was supposed to start moving them out and arresting all the CEOs of these companies that are hiring them. Yeah, that was... Did that ever happen? Did that ever happen? No, none of it happened, the lying bastards. They're not going to risk their ass. There's none of these politicians are going to risk their ass. There's no more statesmen anymore, no more people's generals anymore. Okay, he said to resist the new immigration policy. Well, there is no new immigration policy. They just walk across. They don't give a shit if they're citizens. You're only talking about 10% of them that care they're citizens. They just walk across the border. They don't care. They'll get a job. They'll get a place. They'll get a car. They'll find a cantina, and they're happy. Saying Americans loyal to our republic and flag, I'm not anymore. Because it doesn't stand for anything. Last night, my lady and I went out to steak dinner at one of the lodges around here. Had some karaoke, and I like to sing a little bit. And towards the end, they said, well, now we all got to stand up. Now, there was probably 400 white people, all white, no non-whites at all in there. Gal stood up and said, now we got to show our patriotism. And they come out with that damn song. I hate it. Stand up for your country. All that. And, you know, thank goodness you're free and all that. Do you free? You feel free in this country? Well, as long as you don't get too far out of line, you're sort of free. You're sort of like a trustee in the prison. You're such a good prisoner that they let you have the run of the place and take care of the master. Anyhow, I refused to stand up, and my lady did too. We refused to stand up and say they're proud of America. I'm ashamed of America. I think the system in the United States has become the biggest war criminal in the world. So don't ask me to stand up and salute your flag, because I'm not going to do it. If I have to take the lumps for that, I'll take it, but I'm not going to do it. Anyhow, required to rebel in mass against any enemy, foreign or domestic, that attempts to destroy our nation. How about our race, asshole? Oh, no. We Constitution's for everybody. Yeah, it's for everybody. From within, as Obama is attempting to do by decreeing amnesty for millions of illegals. Well, they've been, all the presidents have been doing that shit or not doing anything about it. Simpson-Mazzoli, they didn't fund it, so it didn't happen. So don't let these goddamn Republicans lie to you. The Democrats lie, but they're more out in the open. Republicans are total, the worst kind of hypocrites. I hate them. He told his group's members that they must resist using by any means necessary. The American public, media, and lawmakers must rise up and stop Obama by any means necessary. Otherwise, America descends into a form of oligarchy and dictatorship that destroys our freedoms and our way of life. Well, all governments are oligarchy, dummy. All governments on the face of the earth are oligarchies, a rule by the few. It don't matter if you got 400, 500 congressmen up there. The real power in the country is always in the hands of a few. And they don't ask you shit. If they ask you anything, they never ask me anything. They could easily do that, you know, if electronically put a button on the front of your TV at the factory to where all the ideas that come up, you could press a button, yes, no, or fuck you. But they wouldn't do that because they don't believe in democracy. Are you kidding? A federal system believing in democracy? It never was a democracy. It never will be a democracy. And the people who believe that shit and put their hand over their heart and pray and swear allegiance are crazy. The executive action doesn't grant U.S. citizenship to people who qualify for deferred action or deportation relief. But that hasn't stopped conservatives from alleging that immigration action is an elaborate ploy to increase the number of Democrat voters. Well, the Republicans do the same thing. Are you kidding? A hell of a lot of those restaurant chains and hotel chains that hire all these wetbacks, they're Republicans. And now they're putting them in the service. They even put offices in other countries to recruit people who aren't citizens to be in our army. Remember Rome? Remember what they did at the end? Yeah. Gein warned that there is a plot to replace the current stock of Americans. No, it's replace the current stock of white people. Throw us out of our jobs, homes, and elections. You see, he knows that. These guys know that. But they don't have the balls to say anything like that. They wouldn't say it if they had to. And replace us with a population that I guess is more agreeable with their political agendas and worldview. Why don't you say replace us with non-whites from all over the world? Niggers, Mexicans, Asians, all of them. That's the game. That is the game. Then comes the dictatorship after they've replaced a majority or a large number of whites, or they die off. You know, we're getting old. Democrats have a long-term strategy of replacing American voters with illegal aliens, recently legalized aliens, resulting in a locked-in vote for socialism. There they go. Socialism can work. Any system can work if you don't have too much corruption at the top. But usually it doesn't take long for corruption to set in. I mean, there's socialism. The country's half socialism, three-quarters socialist now. You know, what are they talking about? One Heritage Foundation senior fellow said Latino voters largely support big government. Voters, yeah, but not that many of them vote. They support big government? I don't see as they support big government any, you know, if Republicans give them what they want, they'll support them. Think of the government as being a benevolent dispenser of goodies. Well, that's where these people come from. That's the kind of governments they lived under, for Christ's sake. They always have dictatorships and so forth. So they want to come up here and have the Washington dictatorship feed them. And therefore, Obama knows that they will help his plan to undermine American freedom and create a people that like and look upon government as benevolent and a provider. Well, the country is full of those kind of people now, of all races. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Corporations are the biggest gimme, gimme, gimme. They want it all. They only want to pay about 2%. Representative Michelle Bachmann, oh, here's another one of those crazy-ass conservatives, who last year made a blatantly false claim that Obama gave Dreamers voting rights, accused the president of trying to flood our nation with millions of new sure-thing Democrat voters. Well, where were you when I were running for Congress out there in California? And that was my main plan. And everybody said I was crazy, no good, racist. Well, I was a racist. Yeah. Yeah, they loved the Mexicans when I was promoting removing them all from the country. Linked to the theme that Obama is replacing freedom-minded Americans, in other words, white Americans, with government-loving mestizos is the right-wing talking point employed by the likes of Shafley and Pat Buchanan, that immigration reform is part of the president's plan to turn the U.S. into a third-world country. Have you looked now? Have you looked around? It is a third-world country now. Because most of these third world countries have a certain percentage of whites, and that's what we have here, percentage of whites. He's about providing a current and constant underclass, a permanent underclass for the Democrat Party. See, politics is bullshit, political parties. Washington, General Washington, even though he had 200 slaves, you know, Washington, he had a aide-de-camp there, a black guy was his guy at Valley Forge that brought him his coffee in the morning and laid out his uniform and so forth. And he had another one there, a black slave, and he took off. There was a girl, a woman. He probably was porking her. But anyhow, he looked all over the country for her, never found her. She ended up in New Hampshire. Now, the only one reason why I can think of a white general or anyone else chasing a black woman all over the country, he was probably planking her. Martha was being cheated on. Okay, where am I? Oh, then Rush Scumbaugh said, before launching into a tirade about how Obama will open the floodgates to the third world to punish America. You see, I told you what they were going to use Obama for before he was even elected. He's a puppet. He's going to take the gap. He's, you know, everything they want to destroy this guy. He's really getting it. And blame it on Obama. You know, this is all Obama's fault. We don't do anything wrong. It's just this Obama. Which underneath, it's their form of racism. Not my form of racism. It's their form of racism. But they're too goddamn cowardly to come out and say it. That's why I can get along with just about any black I run into more than other people, because they ask me a question, I tell them the truth. I'm a white racist. I don't want to rule over you or occupy you or anything. I want you to have your place in the sun. My people have our place in the sun. Then this guy quoted, said, to open the floodgates to the third world to punish America. If you're going to blame that on Obama, it's been going on for 50 years. What's that damn bitch out in New York Harbor, Statue of Liberty, which France came up with and tried to give it to the Egyptian government back then. The Egyptian government didn't want it. And then they got the Jewish to put the sign on the front. Send us your garbage. Yeah, send us your garbage. And everybody said, isn't that wonderful? We'll take in all the garbage. Obama's filled with rage. He doesn't like certain aspects of this country. And he's taking advantage of the power. He's got to do whatever he can to change it. And it's almost a punishment. Well, some of the things he's done have been okay. There's quite a number of things that the Republicans have not gone along with, that he was trying to do things that were going to help the white middle class and the white poor. But they screwed it around to make it look like he wasn't. Now, you might expect me like all the right wing when he became president. Of course, I was upset that we were going to have a black president. But on the other hand, I knew he was a patsy, you know, like Lee Harvey Oswald. Obama's a patsy. And they're going to try to hang everything on him. And I don't think he deserves quite this much. If people don't like niggers, just come out and say, I don't like niggers. Don't hide behind your Republican Party. I don't think that Obama thinks America as a third world country is an improvement. Well, he was not raised by Negroes. He was raised by white people. He didn't have hardly any dealings with Negroes up until he sat down in Chicago. I think he thinks we need to become a third world country because in his mind we've created third world countries. We have kept people in third world countries. We've stolen from people in third world countries. So it's about time we paid our due. Well, that's partially true. That's for sure. You know, the corporations rape people in other countries. Yeah. They rape them. Let's see what Rush has got to say here.
And so my point in trying to get to the motivation behind this is I think if many more people than do understood the motivation, there would be far more than just disagreement with this. And the disagreement is all over the place. I mean, even some Democrat senators are not happy. Some Latinos are not happy. Do you know the tech community is miserably unhappy today? They didn't get what they thought they were going to get. These idiots, I cannot believe these idiots actually thought that what Obama was talking about all this time was increasing the H-1B visas. These idiots didn't have the slightest idea what this is about, and now that they've got it, I'm reading my little tech blogs today, and you can't believe how many of them are disappointed. After all the money they spent, after all the support they lent, and they get nothing, they get bupkis. They were never going to get what they want. They were lied to. They were misled. So welcome to the club.
Listen to a Bachman whine. Here we go with more of these phony right-wing bastards.
But let me talk about what's happening at the White House with regard to immigration and your opinion. The fact that the president may come through with executive action, that immigration may change, that so many people may begin to flood into this country so quickly, is that, in your opinion, one of the most dangerous things and then creating one of the most dangerous times in America we've seen in a long time?
This will be the most significant achievement of President Obama's second term.
25 million of them already came into the country,
bitch. And that's to flood our nation with millions of new sure-thing Democrat voters. And the reason why is because he wants to bring a flood of individuals into the country who will be looking to the United States government as their source of supply. It is sad that that's the direction that the president wants to take the country. It is a cynical view. It isn't what the American people want. And more importantly, the president will be undercutting those who are the American workers in our country. We'll see millions of jobs no longer go to the American worker, and we will see a vast reduction in wages and benefit package for the American people. That won't help the Democrat Party.
What's sad is these people are so stupid, they listen to this bitch. Where were these people when 25 million Mexicans were coming into the country in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s? Where were they? What were they doing? Oh, I wasn't in office then. It's so stupid. Anybody with half a brain can see through this. They only want to use this against Obama, but they're just as criminal as anybody. You know, like George Bush Jr. declaring a immoral, unconstitutional war in Iraq, killing hundreds of thousands of people and getting thousands of Americans killed in the process. And then he goes out and drinks his booze and paints his pictures, and then the Republican Party turns all their guns on Obama. And of course, Obama's doing a lot of the same thing because that's the only way he can stay in power because of these idiots. Because the sheep of the country are sheep. They're going to go along with anything, or at least enough of them go along with anything. So that's just why you got to stay out of this. It's not your fight yet. And remember, I say yet, just like I say worse is better for now. Do not endanger yourself or your family. And if you can get the word to some of these people in the right, don't go off half-cock. Don't fall into the trap. Our time's coming. We don't know how long it's going to be, but our time is coming. Well, we got an earth-shaking situation here out in South Dakota. Some Mongols were at the football game, and some white guys, I guess, sitting in a box above them called them, I don't know exactly what they called them, and evidently poured some beer down on some kids, Mongol kids. Now this is becoming a great, giant, earth-shaking story, talking about how horrible white people are against the Mongols. Well, I've been around Indian reservations a few times, and if you knew how much incest and criminality that exists on the reservation, having a little beer spilled on you and being called a wagon burner is nothing. Their whole culture has degraded to the point to where in all these reservations there's all kinds of child pornography, child molestation, incest, robbery, rape, murder, the whole bit. And then they come out, you see, whenever anything like this happens, they want to take a swipe at the white guy. Now, the white guy shouldn't have done it, but on the other hand, they never say how bad the culture of the Mongol is in this country. They keep saying, oh, he was a great ecologist, and the Mongol wanted to save the environment. Well, if you know anything about Indian history, you know that's bullshit. Read the Crimson Prairie and read how the Mongols destroyed tens of thousands of buffalo by driving them into canyons and just letting them die. They didn't even use the meat. So when a Mongol, and also in modern times, they like to get on the fire department on these reservations, and when they run out of money for booze, because alcoholism is very high, they set a fire, and then they go out and put the fire out, and then they get paid. So they set the fire and put the fire out. Yeah, let's see what this broad's got to say. No, I don't know.
Since 1980, Scott's Bluff Body.
Good evening, and welcome to Dakota Territory News at 5:30. I'm Scott Gross.
I'm Helene Duhamel. Thank you for joining us. This incident at the Rush hockey game Saturday in Rapid City has sparked a flurry of protests directed at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center and a group of fans in a VIP section of the arena.
Our Cindy Davis is following this developing story. She joins us live from outside the Civic Center. Cindy?
For the last 5 years, the Rush have invited students from the American Horse School in Allen to a game, and until Saturday, they had a pretty good experience. It seems while Rush fans cheered on the players and participated in Pink in the Rink night, a group of 57 students were harassed by a group of men in a suite. According to a Facebook post by one of the students' fathers, the men who were sitting just above the students poured beer on the children and hurled racial slurs. The school chaperones decided to take the students out of the Civic Center because of the incident. Craig Baltzer, executive director of the Civic Center, says the arena has several suites, some rented by companies for the entire season. He declined to say what company has the suite, but Baltzer is confident that they will be able to identify the men who acted poorly.
We have full ability to potentially find out who these individuals are. I know there was a lot of people in that room that night, but I'm positive that some of the people in the room would come forward and point out who did. So we're working with the suite owner on that and trying to find out.
The Rush posted an apology to their Facebook page. It reads, "We have been notified of the situation and are working hard to make things right for all those involved. We sincerely apologize to all of those innocent people that were affected by this incident," end quote. Now, Balzer called it a priority to rectify the situation with the victims, and he is working with the Rush to make it up to the students.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
You know, this thing, they want to charge these people with hate crime, which is ridiculous, but it just shows that this story will go worldwide. This story will go worldwide. It never goes worldwide when it's Indians and niggers doing it to white people. No way. But it will go worldwide, a horrible hate crime, because a couple of drunk white guys poured some beer down through the bleachers on some Mongol kids, which used to be not a nice thing to do, and you shouldn't do it, but it wouldn't be a hate crime. And the whites, now they're all lined up to snitch on the other whites and apologize, and oh yeah, and some of these guys may go to jail for this, actually go to jail for what you would call a nasty act. Well, you know what I say? Good on you. If the public will not support their own people, screw them. If white people won't support white people, screw them. We'll take care of ours. You do whatever you want. One crummy so-called Indian tribe, Mongol tribe, came up there when Craig Cobb was in Leith. What a motley crew. And they stand up. Some of them even had the feathers on. I mean, it's something else. They came up there and demonstrated against Craig Cobb. And all the white press of the whole state was saying, what a wonderful thing. These Indians, these Mongols came up there to protect the other white people, the other 10 people in the town. Boy, they showed those Nazis. Jeez. Well, we've got an email here from Stray Dog, you know, who's done a lot of shows for us, with us. Hi, TT. New England has been crippled with yet another snowstorm, shutting down 90% of the business. In New Germany, all of our buoys used for transportation have frozen solid along the rivers, again slowing businesses to a standstill. Why, then, I ask, is the stock market hitting new highs? Oh, that's right. Our nation has become a slave labor camp for the global corporations. Once proud auto workers are now making $10 an hour, and the cars they build are sent to Europe. It's very telling how the stock market hit new highs when all the construction and transportation have slowed down, as well as the price of gas falling. Stock market makes its money selling military hardware to the world, and half of the stuff is junk or overpriced. What an utter joke this nation has become. Uncle Sam has gone nuts and needs to be put into an old age home. The decisions he makes are not in our best interest. Well, that's for sure. As predicted, a sub-zero temperatures have slowed the murder rate down quite a bit. The black KKK takes a vacation when it comes to cold or rainy. In New York City, they went to the longest stretch without a murder. It's funny as hell those mud people are so predictable. Never do what the enemy expects. Never talk to the police. With admiration, Stray Dog. Okay. Thank you, Stray Dog. You speak straight arrow. Well, I see this Floyd Mayweather and the Manny Pacquiao fights coming up one of these days. I heard it's going to be a $1 billion deal. A billion. I guess Mayweather is supposed to go home with $40 million and Pacquiao with $20 million, and the rest the Jews get. Think of that. A boxing match is going to cost $1 billion. Well, white cops down in Memphis are getting a shaft. Yeah, the Memphis Police Department has faced criticism for their racist and discriminatory practices toward black citizens and police officers for decades. Documentation going as far back as 1979 reveals a pattern of discrimination against black officers, with the city acknowledging in a consent decree that historically blacks have been excluded from or limited in hiring and promotion. Well, I say let all the cops in Memphis be black and see what happens. I think you would want a few white boys back once you get to that point. What the hell? Worse is better for Memphis. Have all black cops. Well, you know how they love veterans? They just love veterans. Oh, veterans are wonderful. Well, April V. Taylor, the Detroit Free Press, is reporting that Vietnam vet John Skelly froze to death, dying of hypothermia on February the 1st after Consumers Energy Corporation shut off the gas to his residence on January 19. The state of Michigan has ordered the company to issue a report after the company shut the 69-year-old cancer patient's gas off. Wow. They love the veterans. They love you when you go marching off. They just don't want you to come back. They'd rather you get killed over there, because then we wouldn't have to do anything for you. We wouldn't have to keep your gas going, man. That's how much they love the veterans. Anybody that joins up with the military has got to have a hole in their head. Well, several years ago, at one time, I advocated to skinheads, if they felt they wanted the experience, to go in the military and get all the experience, come back, and they'd know exactly what to do if they had to do it. I don't do that anymore. I don't want to see any more white guys join the military. Not at all. You know, it's really sad. They had the Malcolm X memorial in Harlem the last few days. Most of those niggers never supported him. He never got hardly any support out of the black community, other than lip service. And then he gets knocked off, allegedly, by Farrakhan and his boys, which I don't know. They've never proved it. But I remember, you know, he was lucky he wasn't assassinated before, because he was probably the only black man in the country in leadership that was telling the truth from his point of view. Certainly Martin Luther King wasn't. So now all these phony baloney blacks and whites come out to memorialize Malcolm X. What a bunch of shit that was. I have a lot more respect for Malcolm X than those people. Well, I'll close out today by reading from one of the holy books of the Church of What's Happening Now, right here in the bunker. And I'm the Pope. The Two Commandments. I have a problem with the Ten Commandments. Here it is. Why are there 10? We don't need that many. I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get up to 10. It's clearly a padded list. Here's how it happened. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to figure out how they could control people and keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they're told. So these guys announced that God personally, had given one of them a list of 10 commandments, and he wanted everyone to follow. They claimed the whole thing took place on a mountaintop when no one else was around. But let me ask you something. When these guys were sitting around the tent making up this up, why did they pick 10? Why 10? Why not 9 or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds important. 10 sounds official. They knew if they tried 11, people wouldn't take them seriously. People would say, "What are you kidding me? The 11th commandments? Get the fuck out of here." But then 10 sounds important. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade. It's a psychological satisfying number. The top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So deciding on 10 commandments was clearly a marketing decision, and it obviously is a bullshit list. In truth, it's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. I'm going to show you how you can reduce the number of commandments and come up with a list that's a bit more logical and realistic. We'll start with the first three, and I'll use the Roman Catholic version because those are the ones I was fed as a little boy. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Well, he was a little strange too. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I hear a lot of Christians even do that. Thou shalt keep the holy Sabbath, or the Sabbath holy. Okay, right off the bat, the first three commandments, pure bullshit. Sabbath day, Lord's name, strange gods, spooky language. Spooky language designed to scare and control primitive people. In no way does superstitious mumbo-jumbo like this apply to the lives of intelligent, civilized humans in the 21st century. You throw out the first three commandments and you're down to seven. Let's see here. Yeah, we got some time left. Honor thy father and thy mother. This commandment is about obedience and respect for authority. In other words, it's simply a device for controlling people. The truth is, obedience and respect should not be granted automatically. They should be earned. They should be based on the parents' or the authority figure's performance. Some parents deserve respect, some of them don't, period. We're down to six. Now, in the interest of logic, something religion has a really hard time with. I'm going to skip around the list a little bit. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Stealing and lying, actually, when you think about it, these two commandments cover the same sort of behavior. Dishonesty, stealing and lying. So we don't need two of them. Instead, we combine these two and call it, thou shalt not be dishonest. Suddenly, we're down to five. And as long as we're combining commandments, I have two others that belong together. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Woo! Once again, these two prohibit the same sort of behavior. In this case, marital infidelity. The difference between them is that the coveting takes place in the mind. And I don't think you should outlaw fantasizing about someone else's wife. Otherwise, what's a guy got to think about when he's flogging his dong? But marital fidelity is a good idea, so suggest we keep the idea and call this commandment. Thou shalt not be unfaithful. Suddenly we're down to four, and when you think about it further, honesty and fidelity are actually parts of the same overall value. So in truth, we could combine the two honesty commandments and the two fidelity commandments, and using positive language instead of negative, call the whole thing, thou shalt always be honest and faithful. And now we're down to three. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. This one is just plain stupid. Coveting your neighbor's goods is what keeps the economy going. Your neighbor gets a vibrator and plays, oh, come all ye faithful. You want to get me one? Coveting creates jobs. Leave it alone. You throw out coveting and you're down to two. Now, the big combined honesty and fidelity commandment, and the one we've mentioned yet. Thou shalt not kill. Murder, the fifth commandment. But if you give it a little thought, you realize that religion has never really had a problem with murder. Not really. More people have been killed in the name of God than for any other reason. To cite a few examples, just think about the Irish history, the Middle East, the Crusades, the Inquisition, our own abortion doctor killings, and yes, the World Trade Center, to see how seriously religious people take thou shalt not kill. Apparently, to religious folks, especially the truly devout, murder is negotiable. It just depends on who's doing the killing and who's getting killed. And so, with all of this in mind, folks, I offer you my revised list of the two commandments. First, thou shalt always be honest and faithful, especially to the provider of thy nookie. And second, thou shalt try real hard not to kill anyone, unless, of course, they pray to different invisible avengers than the one you have to pray to. Two is all you need, folks. Moses could have carried them down the hill in his pocket. And if we had a list like that, it wouldn't mind the brilliant judge in Alabama displaying it prominently on his courthouse lobby, as long as he included one additional commandment: thou shalt keep thy religion to thyself. I love it. We like to bring things to light like that in our bunker here, Church of What's Happening Now. This is where my two dogs and I get down on our knees and pray to the invisible gods in the Church of What's Happening Now.
Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on last gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Hey. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on! Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Records available in the foyer. Someone's got to live as well, you know. Who do you think pays for all this rubbish?
Always look on the money back, you know.
I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.